Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Live Free Austin radio show every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9 The Big Talker. You can also check us out at livefreeaustinradio.com, livefreeaustinradio.com, where you can find the podcast to our 8 previous shows. This is the 9th show, and we're really starting to get a lot of really good guests and good interviews and good content under our belt. So definitely check out livefreeaustinradio.com. But as usual, joined by John Bush and Jason Rink. How you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing great. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to Austin, and Merry Christmas to you, John.
Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, thank you very much. And yeah, you know, we are happy to be here, happy to be going strong. And we've had great guests almost every week. I think there was only one week that me and you were here by ourselves.
That was a good show, too.
And it was a great show, if we don't say so ourselves. So please, if you're enjoying what we're putting out there, let other people know about it. And, you know, download the podcast and send them around the web. Check out the information. We're always got different things we're talking about. Today, we're going to be talking about net neutrality. We're also going to have a great guest today, Robert Scott Bell from robertscottbell.com. He's got a homeopathic and natural health radio program every week on Sundays. And he's going to come on talking about vaccines, fluoridation, and whatever else, just how to live a healthier life here as we're entering into 2011. Mm-hmm. You know, no doubt many of us are making, some resolutions about how not to be as lazy as we've been.
That's always my resolution, but I break it every year.
Right, exactly.
See, this is the year.
How not to,
this is the year.
Yeah, you know, how not to eat as many bad things and whatever. So this can be a part of that process of just learning what we can do from a natural health standpoint to live, you know, a more healthy life, which again, health freedom is the basis of liberty, because if we're imprisoned in our own bodies through poor health choices, we really can't do much of anything else.
So here we are on the Live Free Austin radio show, bringing you the news, views, and tools you can use to live not only a more free and prosperous life, but also a more healthy lifestyle.
That's right. That's right. So, well, let's talk about a big news item of this past week, net neutrality. And this is one of those issues that I'm not going to profess to be an expert on, but it comes down to the issue of regulation of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people on both sides of this issue and what it's going to do or what it's not going to do. But what we want to really specifically look at is what happened this week, where the FCC essentially kind of came through and said, hey, we are, going to do this. We're going
to... How do they even have authority in the first place, you know, over this stuff?
Well, and that's the big question. It was a 3-2 vote on, you know, the FCC. They approved rules regarding net neutrality. And it says they're going to provide three high-level rules. It's transparency, no blocking, and no unreasonable discrimination. And you can check out, you know, articles online about what this means, you know, what are they not going to block, what's going to be transparent, all of those things. But the big question is the FCC in the lawmaking business? And should the FCC be creating legislation ultimately, or giving themselves more power? And one of the guys who sort of was a voice of opposition to this, who voted against it, you know, he made that statement. He said, the FCC is not Congress. We cannot make laws. The FCC has provocatively charted a collision course with the legislative branch. Now, that may be a little more optimistic than I would be, because I'm not sure that the legislative branch, they probably have as much interest in gaining power over communication as the FCC. What we're seeing here is that it's sort of a reversal on how this has gone about. So, but really, I'm not sure, again, I'm not an expert on this, I'm not sure what's really going to come from this decision, but there is something that I think is very problematic in the decision, because what they said is that there'll be no unreasonable discrimination when it comes to what kind of information they're going to block or censor.
Which means, on the flip side, that reasonable discrimination is okay.
Right. And so what we know, going back to the drafting of the Constitution, it's these vague clauses that always create problems for us.
Damn you, Madison.
That's right. The Commerce Clause.
Come on, Madison.
You know, that gets in there, and they legislate anything that has to do with commerce. Even the health care bill they say, well, if people don't buy health care, that impacts interstate commerce. I mean, that's a stretch.
Yep.
Or the necessary and proper clause, welfare. It's all of these vague clauses.
And then on the First Amendment, they have the right to petition for a redress of grievances, but apparently there's no obligation for the Congress to respond to our redress of grievances.
So we do see that there were some possible oversights. Imperfect men could not create a perfect document, and whether or not we can really create a type of government that'll limit its own power. That's a subject for,
another show.
But the problem here is what we see is we see, you know, this statement comes out and it says, well, you know, reasonable discrimination would be things like malware and child porn, right? You know, stuff that infects your computer and then child porn. Mm-hmm. And now, okay, as a society, We agree, most of us agree, that child pornography is bad, wrong, something that we don't want to have prevalent. But the problem is that we run into First Amendment issues with this. We run into also the fact that, you know, the whole it's for the children argument is always used.
It's always for the children.
Yeah, and they always trot out...
The fluoride's for the children.
Yeah, everything's for the children. And they always trot out the children to bring some sort of legislation about that then they expand into all of these uncharted waters. And I'm frankly tired of them using the children to trot out legislation or decisions that they want to use to limit our freedom.
Yep.
And again, the issue isn't whether or not you agree or disagree with child pornography. The issue is we already see from a governmental level the war on WikiLeaks. We already see how they would love to be able to shut down websites that provide, you know, alternative information and news.
Anti-establishment websites.
Right. So is it that big of a stretch to say, well, WikiLeaks, that's espionage that endangers national security and the safety of the children, and therefore we'll shut that down? I mean, is that, am I making a big leap there?
No, I remember shortly after the war in Iraq started, there was a whole push through talking points on the mainstream media that anybody that is opposed to the war or holds anti-war demonstrations, they are hurting American national security. It's very dangerous. We see just recently YouTube added a provision on if you click on a video as being offensive or against the rules, there's now a provision that says promotes terrorism. And something that on the next program, actually, Jason's going to be out of town. I'll be joined by Catherine Bleich of the Liberty Restoration Project and Operation Defuse. And her and I have been traveling the country and pushing back on the Fusion Center apparatus. We're featured on Jesse Ventura Conspiracy Theory Show. But one of the things that's happening right now through the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice is this push for this new concept of extremism, which is in the middle between terrorism and just being a normal everyday citizen. It's this new concept of extremism. So we see them saying you, if something promotes terrorism, of course, that's up to interpretation. And now they're going to push it even further to things promoting extremism. And really what they could say is that this type of activity, this type of content, this type of anti-establishment rhetoric is promoting instability, for example, within, you know, the social status here in the United States. And I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. They've done it in the past.
Well, yeah, and we've already seen this with, again, WikiLeaks creates a great case. And regardless of what you believe about this, listen, it's being thrown around out there. He's a terrorist, right? That's the whole
put him in Guantanamo.
Point. Yeah, exactly.
Congressmen are saying that.
Exactly. So this idea of spreading ideas and information, regardless of if it's true, you know, I mean, the main problem the state has with WikiLeaks is that it's making them look bad. And so, you know, but
they don't need the help of WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I know. They're doing
bad.
A great job all on their own, Congress. And so we are really in the midst of a battle here because the internet is the last bastion of freedom when it comes to information, when it comes to education, when it comes to being informed. And you know what? It's a place where we need to be as people able to decide for ourselves the kind of information we're going to consume. We're tired of being told what we're going to consume and what we're going to believe by the people, the talking heads on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC.
Klinbeck.
Exactly. All of these people, you know, we are going to go out there and find it for ourselves. We don't want the FCC getting in there and trying to clamp down on what makes the internet so great right now.
But it's for the kids, Jason. It's for the kids.
Well, I know. And aw shucks, let's just shut down the internet because it's dangerous for the kids.
We talk about a lot of really libertarian. Sometimes we delve into the hardcore libertarian aspects of things. And one of those things, it's encouraged, and this is something that the new left did in the 60s and 70s, and a lot of radical lefties do, and they build their own parallel institutions. So the idea has even been kicked around in some circles of setting up a parallel alternative internet that people can tap into. Some of them can use wireless transmissions across whole neighborhoods, and then you link in with other cities and stuff like that. So, I mean, if they continue to clamp down, I'm somewhat optimistic in the ingenuity and the craftiness of the libertarian movement and people in general. And of course, a lot of libertarians are the ones that brought us the internet and expanded it, a lot of these open source guys and stuff like that. So I do feel confident, even if they do put a clamp down on the internet as we see it today, that the people will still come together and build one of their own potentially.
That's right. And we're going to be talking more about some other issues of too much government. With too much government news, we're also going to be talking about the TSA. That's the issue that won't go away. And so stick around. It's Jason Rink and John Bush. Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
More energy. Stronger immune power. Improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein in greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome back to Live Free Austin, Live Free Austin Radio, livefreeaustinradio.com. Jason Rink, John Bush, moving and grooving, rocking and rolling every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9. The Big Talker. Be sure you join our Facebook page. You can just search Live Free Austin Radio, and we'll be right there. We want you to join the discussion. Also on livefreeaustinradio.com, we have our 8 previous podcasts up. There's some good conversations going on in the comment section, so feel free to chime in there and get the discussion going. We really want to make this as interactive as possible with you, the listener. So again, we got a great show. We're going to be joined by Robert Scott Bell coming up at the top of the next segment. He's an expert in homeopathic medicine and does a radio show as well. You can check out robertscottbell.com for that. And I also want to let you know the next program, the Rinkster is going to be out of town. So I'm going to be joined by Catherine Bleich.
A shot of estrogen to live free Austin.
She was actually labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center as the needle of estrogen in their top 35.
She's like in the America's Most Wanted of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yeah.
She's kind of a big deal, and it's crazy because she's such a little hippie radical libertarian, and here she's being labeled as this, you know, patriot movement leader that's a threat to the United States of America.
Yeah, it's really funny if you meet her, you know. I guess it depends on what context she does. I know she could take down society if you left it to her.
Well, she's a threat to the establishment. It's a peaceful threat, which is the big difference here.
You know, that is the thing.
That is the thing is
the state, they fear that things can be accomplished through peace, mm-hmm. because they have the monopoly on violence.
That's right.
And so when we come along with the message of peace and you know, non-aggression and non-intervention.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous. Yeah. And that's why when you go through history, people like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr., these were the dangerous people.
And Jesus Christ, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
happy birthday, by the way, Jesus.
That's right. It's a great day.
It's a great day for Jesus. A quick side note, though, that reminded me of one of my friends. He's a hardcore democratic socialist, and I've known him for years and years now. And he was just recently getting upset with me, you know, saying that the people that I'm around and the movement that I'm with, you know, we promote violence. And, you know, it really upset me. I had to correct him. We're out here busting our behinds to ensure that we're not doing anything remotely close to violence. And we're using the means of redress provided to us from the system that we're up against, the constitutionally protected First Amendment rights to freedom of the press, like we're doing right now, freedom of assembly, freedom of the speech, and the right to petition our government for redress of grievances. So we've all committed ourselves to nonviolence, to the non-aggression principle. So shame on you, my democratic socialist friend.
Well, and if you think about it, you know, if you think about it, the federal government seems like they're hell-bent on taking away all of our nonviolent means.
That's right.
Of redress, getting a redress of grievances.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, oh, let's make sure you can't publish anything. Let's make sure you can't say anything. Let's make sure that you can't, you know, assemble peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Here, go to your free speech zone, all this. So it's, I don't want to say that the federal government's forcing us into a position of violence, because again, we don't want to do that, and we won't do that, because we're for peace, and libertarianism is for peace.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, the government is just sort of seems like they want to take away even that tool from us.
Mm-hmm.
To be, you know, so, well, you know, we've got the TSA again. Always got the TSA, and in this past week here in Austin, some things went down at the Austin Bergstrom Airport. John, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. The Transportation Security Administration, as many of our regular listeners are well aware, is planning on bringing a naked body scanner here to the Austin Bergstrom International Airport. Well, thankfully for the general public here in Austin, there's organizations such as Texans for Accountable Government, which I'm the executive director of. You can check out tagtexas.org if you want to see what we're all about. And We Are Change Austin as well. WeAreChangeAustin.com, I believe. If not, you can just Google them. As well as just activists from all across the city. We recently came out in full force. There was about 50 to 60 people outside of the airport doing a rally, just like we did on the National Opt-Out Day. But this time, we actually had a permit. And it's really terrible and inconsistent for me to ask permission to exercise my First Amendment. But they do have the authority over the airport, even though we paid for it. Yeah. Either way, we're actually inside, and we were passing out flyers, four of us. It was great. We got to chat with a lot of the TSA agents. We got to chat with a lot of the travelers, passed out a whole lot of little flyers, got people to sign a petition, got some wonderful media coverage there. Fox 7 really did a whole story that was just dedicated to all of our talking points. But basically, we're engulfed in a battle to prevent the TSA from bringing the body scanners. We're coming up against all sorts of barriers because apparently the TSA and the federal government have jurisdiction over our airport here, even though it was paid for by Austin taxpayer bond money, and the city council is the one that technically oversees the property. So we're pushing back. We're lobbying our councils. We actually met with every single one of the aides and staff from every single one of the council members. There was about 10 of us there. It was a wonderful meeting, and they all seemed to be on the same page as far as why we shouldn't have them, the health effects, the privacy effects, their downright ineffectiveness. But it's just going to come down to the same question that we always seem to be fighting here in Austin, and that's the federal government just really getting in there and just digging in all of our affairs, and it's a big problem. So we need to exert our local authority, and hopefully we can send a message to the federal government that the not only does the Austin residents, you know, not only are they opposed to that, but our government is opposed to it as well.
Well, and you know, the more I think about the TSA issue, the more I realize it's sort of a symbol for the struggle for freedom in this country, because you know, it's an example of where government has come in and capitalized on the fears of the American people. And they've come in, they're doing a job. They're doing a job that many say is not that effective.
Mm-hmm.
Again, always fighting the last battle. I mean, you know, okay, we get it. Terrorists probably shouldn't try to do things via plane. There's a myriad of other ways they could try to destroy and harm American people.
The borders are wide open. They could slip in a dirty bomb like that.
Yeah, I mean, so it, again, we're always fighting the last battle, and it's the American people are being treated like cattle, and we're being sort of beat into submission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are mad about. That's what people are tired of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading an article this week on the TSA issue. And again, no doubt this weekend, many people traveling across the country and many people will be groped and felt up and x-rayed and, you know, all sorts of things. And what's happening is people are being trained. We're being trained to deal with it. We're being trained to accept it. And as we're going to talk about, the fluoride in the water system is making us docile so we don't fight against it. But, you know, there's all these things that are happening to make us just sort of resigned to the fact that, you know what? Yeah, we don't have rights over our own bodies. We can be prodded and probed by government. We don't have the right to travel. You know, people make false ultimatums. Well, if you don't like it, don't fly.
God, jeez. Flying's a privilege anyway, is what my Democratic Socialist buddy said. Maybe yeah. I want to throw up in my mouth.
Right, and please don't do that here in the studio. But, you know, but that's the thing is this is getting very serious, and the TSA issue is sort of a symbol where I think many of us as Americans can rally around it and say no more.
They overstep their boundaries.
That's right. So I'll be driving this Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's three round-trip tickets I've denied an air carrier, plus a dog ticket, actually. Yeah.
Vote with your dollar.
That's right. And so
that's the best way to do it.
I encourage you to do that. I'm driving 1,100 miles.
Opt out. WeWon'tFly.com. Again, the media coverage after the national opt-out day, they used the same headlines all across the country with the local news reports. And they said, well, it looks like travelers across the country decided to opt out of the opt-out.
Yeah.
But really, they didn't realize that, you know, it was like 15% fewer people decided to travel by air this time around. More people were driving. People exactly did that. They didn't just opt out of the pat-downs and opt out of the body scanner. They opted out of flying altogether. And, you know, again, the airliners associations and unions, the pilots unions are all on our side. So as Jason said, you know, this is symbolic of a larger push against our individual liberty. It's more conditioning, but we do have an opportunity because this time, not that they didn't before, but this time for the general public, it seems as if they have overstepped their bounds.
Well, but I already see how this is going to backfire on us. So we'll opt out. We won't fly. All the airlines are going to get in financial trouble. And the government will bail them out. And we're going to be like, no!
We can't win.
What did we do?
We can't win.
Well, listen, that is our big government news. Too much government news today, apparently, because we're moving into our next break. We've got Robert Scott Bell coming up. He's going to be talking about vaccines, fluoride, things you can do to make natural and organic health decisions to, you know, have more health freedom in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so stick around with us. It's going to be a great interview. Also, just want to kind of do a shout out to Brave New Books, one of our great sponsors. You can find a lot of information on vaccines and fluoride and, you know, too much government and all sorts of things at that great little bookstore there on Guadalupe. What is that, 1609?
1904 Guadalupe Street.
1904. And also the Foundation for a Free Society. The Foundation for a Free Society is a great supporter of ours. You can check them out at myfreesociety.com. A lot of great information, a lot of great videos up there,
mm-hmm.
and just a way that you can help the Foundation for a Free Society out so they can continue to help out our show. So stick around with us at Live Free Austin Radio, livefreeaustinradio.com. This is Jason Rink and John Bush, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, Jason Rink and John Bush, Live Free Austin, Live Free Austin Radio. We're here with you every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9, the Big Talker here in Austin, Texas. And today we're happy to introduce Robert Scott Bell. He is a holistic practitioner. He gives the fastest 2 hours of healing information on the radio from an alternative and holistic healthcare perspective. You can find his show at robertscottbell.com. I highly recommend that you go there, subscribe to it, and check it out because he is giving information that you're not going to hear from the talking heads on television. And so we want to introduce Robert Scott Bell. Thank you for joining us today.
Jason and John, I'm pleased to be with you.
Well, thanks. You know, we met at the Nullify Now event here back in Florida, I believe, a few months ago. And I know you put out a lot of information while you were there on just a number of topics. I mean, preventing cancer, you know, alternative remedies. I mean, just a lot of different things. And we've spent some time on this show talking about different aspects of health freedom, the healthcare legislation, SB 510, a lot of different topics. And, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about is the idea of vaccinations. And here we are in that time of year where a lot of people out there go and get flu vaccines and other types of vaccines. And just from your perspective, what are your thoughts regarding vaccination, some of the possible dangers or concerns people should have?
Well, vaccines violate the fundamental tenets of how an immune system is even developed by basically injecting, for the most part, toxic substances, heavy metals, foreign animal RNA and DNA. You've got other chemical excipients. You've got formaldehydes and antibiotics in there, as well as very often aluminum and other adjuvants that stimulate hyperimmune responses. And mercury, of course, is the big one most people know about, but that's only one of many things. And the concept of poisoning the body in this way in order to help it and strengthen it is absurd to begin with. And it also violates the whole concept of how your immune system even protects you. It isn't about the antibodies specifically or alone, because think about this from the perspective of chicken pox, and I may have mentioned this in the lecture at Nullify Now. Most of us as kids had chicken pox naturally. We didn't get a shot for it. And we were told by the doctors that it had conferred lifelong immunity to the chickenpox virus. We would never get it again. We thought, okay, great. But in truth, that's not the truth. The fact of the matter is you have millions of adults all across this land suffering from the same darn virus known as the herpes zoster varicella virus and getting something called shingles.
Mm-hmm.
In adulthood. Now, you already have, if you had chickenpox, the antibodies for the virus. So how is it possible you succumb to it again? It's because having the antibody is not sufficient. And I'm not speaking out against them, but it's an immature understanding of the immune system. All you need is an antibody, and then you can party on, Garth and Wayne.
Right.
And everything will be fine. It's not the way it works. So we've got to look at it differently. Instead of poisoning children to get them healthy, which is, again, absurd, we look to give them the nutrients that are the basic building blocks of the immune system, as well as the good microflora in the gut, which is where the primary damage from vaccines occur. And when we talk about the tertiary responses, neurological, brain, autism scenarios, they're all happening because of the damage to the gut lining, which is also made worse by relying on antibiotic drugs that are approved, by the way, by government.
Mm-hmm.
So must be safe.
Interesting. Right.
You, a lot of people object to, you know, this truth about vaccinations because they say vaccines have led to a major decrease in all sorts of different diseases, like polio, for example. Are there any other alternatives that could have potentially led to this decrease in the occurrence of these diseases that vaccines are supposedly eliminating?
Well, absolutely. I've been covering this topic for years on my program, including interviewing so-called medical experts that acknowledge the fact that the polio vaccine did not reduce polio, did not eradicate polio, that there was an environmental disease. It related to certain toxins and poisons that were coming in, pesticides and other things that were being utilized, and also refined sugar consumption over the summers that they began to, you know, have more refrigeration. Ice cream became widely available to kids. These high sugars would increase the incidence of all kinds of ailments and viral diseases. And in addition as well, the swimming pools that came about in the time of the early 20th century, mid-20th century, where they began to use heavy amounts of chlorine. All of these things worked to reduce the defense mechanisms of the body, and it created a scenario where the strange neurological impairment would occur. But they also forget to tell you with polio, in less than one half percent of the people that were diagnosed with polio did the paralytic condition, the iron lung scenario, ever occur. The vast majority of people that came into contact with the so-called polio disease hardly got a sniffle. But we are not led to believe that, by the way, they've rewritten history, that everybody ended up in an iron lung. If you didn't get the shot, you were going to die. The fact of the matter is I've covered cases in North Carolina where they eliminated the high sugar containing foods and even the soft drinks for a couple of summers. It eradicated polio, and then when the sugar manufacturers were outraged at this, they fought back the public health initiative, and once they started, you know, basically endorsing the sugar foods, polio came back. So it is completely misunderstood, purposefully so, by the revisionist historians of Big Pharma.
Well, and you're really hitting on the main nerve here, which is this idea, as a homeopathic practitioner, you know, you would definitely espouse this idea that, you know, we have this amazing self-healing body if we would just, you know, put the right things in it from our diet standpoint, have the right lifestyle. And yet the myth perpetuates out there that we need all of these chemicals and drugs to be able to, you know, cure us. So, I mean, would you say that that's the case? Really, it's if we could address the nutritional aspect, that everything else follows from that?
Yeah, but according to our government and the regulatory agencies like the Fear and Death Administration, otherwise known as the FDA, they will espouse the belief that we all suffer from drug and vaccine deficiency diseases.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
Right? And there are no nutrients that can actually benefit your health. If you do have one and you actually claim that it does, then suddenly it will be reclassified as a drug. And if you're a manufacturer of that supplement, you will be thrown in jail, fined, imprisoned, or at least put out of business. So we have a culture of death, a tyrannical culture of death emanating from the bureaucratic oligarchy, which was empowered by Congress, both Republican and Democrat, that has led to a scenario in which we find ourselves, you know, begging for instance, Obamacare. Not here on this show, I know, but many people, you know, wrongly, even though they may be motivated by good intentions, are begging for the government that established this tyrannical, death-inducing health care management system for even more of the same. And that's what Obamacare is. It basically mandated participation, whereas before we at least had the ability to say, no, I don't want any part of that system. Now it unconstitutionally, of course, forces people to buy and pay into the disease management system for which we don't have a deficiency of any of the things they're promoting.
Mm-hmm. My older sister actually is pregnant right now, and she's about to come up to the choice, you know, educate, not vaccinate. And I'm going to be getting her a gift on Christmas. I forget the title of it, but it's one of the most comprehensive books out there on vaccinations and newborns. Is there any advice that you can give? I know we're going to be chatting a little bit about fluoride later, and I researched that topic in depth and researched Edward L. Bernays, who wrote Public Relations. He's the father of modern propaganda. And he said that the way that we can convince the American public to go along with a lot of this anti-health stuff like vaccines or fluoridation of water is to appeal to the authority figures like doctors, for example. So is there any advice that you could perhaps give to the listeners and my sister as well in how to really overcome the authority of your doctor? And in some instances, you know, most regular family doctors encourage this type of stuff. How can she become more confident in her own research and overcome the status quo and the authority of these you know, family doctors that are pushing
this stuff? Well, the indoctrination into, you know, authoritarian structures and the belief in authority has been, you know, part of the downfall of the organic American Republic, where we've, you know, removed ourselves from the concept of the sovereign humanity or sovereign human to the point of subservience to so-called experts, pseudo or otherwise, that are sanctioned by government, like granted titles of nobility, which our Constitution forbade. So we have to obviously educate ourselves out of that, just like your sister is doing, by reading, learning, talking, associating yourself with people who have done the same. It strengthens your resolve and your posture in dealing with these charlatans, these M deities, and those that unfortunately have, you know, basically drank the pharmaceutical Kool-Aid. So I've lectured on the topic of vaccines very often. In fact, at the Nullify Now event I'll have, and I had in Orlando when we did it, a lecture that I gave available on DVD. What do you do now after you say no to vaccines? In other words, you've learned the truth, but you're a little scared. You know, okay, I didn't do that, but now I've got to do something else. So I educate on this subject very frequently. So they can go to robertscottbell.com, send me an email. I can make that available to your listeners as well.
Great.
Yeah, that's great information. You know, me and my wife, we have an 11-year-old son, and we started to get wise to this pretty early on, but we did go through the first 6 month vaccinations, and then since then, he hasn't gotten any. And, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. And we've had a healthy lifestyle. We were vegetarian for a long time, which I know isn't necessarily the secret to anything. But it's just trying to make the wise, healthy decisions regardless of what you eat. But we have seen that in comparison, just through these healthy lifestyle choices and avoiding the medicine and the drugs, like our son has just been way healthier. And then, you know, you know, my heart breaks because I was just talking to a couple the other day, and they got their 6-month vaccination, and now their little baby's having these seizures and these things that are going on that the doctors say, oh, we don't know what this is. Is that something that you're seeing happening? I mean, these type of reactions?
Yeah, these are what we call iatrogenic diseases. They're caused by doctors in modern medicine. They're criminal, in my opinion. I mean, it's criminal neglect, and there may be criminal intent in some cases, but I know a lot of doctors think they're doing right, but that doesn't excuse them. It didn't excuse those at the Nuremberg trials either. But the damage I mentioned to the gut is where this is happening. Mm. The seizure activity is due to the damage in the gut. I utilize silver hydrosol and aloe and probiotics to get into the gut to restore integrity to the lining therein and the villi that are damaged by vaccination and then the subsequent antibiotic use. I also pull out the heavy metals that are present in these children, and we can reverse that earlier rather than later is easier, but it still takes effort. But yes, I mean, in this regard, they don't even acknowledge that they're the cause of the problem. But vaccine-induced diseases can be, responsible as well for type 1 diabetes, and I believe much of the cancer we see, whether it be in children and other autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, we can follow it back in time to childhood vaccination. Even if you don't get diagnosed with the autism spectrum in childhood, as you become chronically ill from childhood on through to adulthood, anything goes. Anything is possible. Any disease is possible. So it is the cornerstone for modern medicine. They're linchpinning their future on we accept more vaccines, yet it is the main way that they maintain their customer base and grow their customer base.
Well, you know, and it's thank God that we've got alternative resources for information and research and people like yourself out there giving the word. You know, we're going into a break right now. We're going to be back on the other side of the break with Robert Scott Bell. You can check his website out at robertscottbell.com. We're going to be talking about fluoride in the water supply, other issues regarding natural and homeopathic health. So stick around. This is Live Free Austin with Jason Rink and John Bush, and we'll be right back.
Energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein in greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
Welcome back, Live Free Austin. You can check us out every week, 3 to 4 p.m. here on 98.9 or livefreeaustinradio.com, where we've got the podcast from every week's episode and anything that we've been talking about. We put up the articles, we put up the videos, whatever it is. We're talking with Robert Scott Bell today of robertscottbell.com, and he's got a great podcast on natural health and homeopathic remedies and things like that. And what we were talking about before we went into the break is just the fact that if you want to refuse vaccinations, you've got to overcome this sort of authority issue with your, you know, health practitioner or whatever it is. And we got to talking about this idea of, you know, it used to be Murray Rothbard talks about how in the past, the church often acted as the mouthpiece to shape opinion that benefited the state and the government. And that has changed and become the academia and even mainstream media. And so we live in a culture now that if you have, you know, degrees behind your name and you're on mainstream, you know, television, It's gospel truth. Don't you think that that's kind of what's happened in our culture?
Yeah, the orthodoxy has shifted from religion to science, but not real science, scientism. And the left is especially guilty here of worshiping the church of biological mysticism, and that is scientism, not real science. And even a lot on the right have. I mean, you listen to even the conservative so-called right-wing pundits like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity, and they could be good on conservative things here and there, but then they lose it when it comes to big pharma. And they worship, whereas, you know, Savage, for another example, I've been on his show for the last couple of years almost every week, and at least he doesn't drink the pharmaceutical Kool-Aid. He understands that Big Pharma doesn't have the answer for everything. But the left has been incredibly guilty in replacing one religion with another, and it isn't science, it's scientism.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we see that in issues like vaccines, and we also see that in the fluoride issue, where
yes.
Fluoridation's been this thing that's been around for so long that it's just sort of a given. Everybody just, you know, accepts, hey, fluoride in the water supply, of mm-hmm. course, it's great for our teeth, yep. and it's got to be there. We're a modern society, mm-hmm. and fluoridated water is just part of, it's the linchpin of a free society,
a
it
healthy
seems
democracy.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah, why not put statin drugs and Ritalin in the water, too? I mean, you will eliminate what they call attention deficit, which is, mm-hmm. is bogus, and we'll eliminate cholesterol, which is not the cause of heart disease. Mm-hmm. But this is the insanity of scientism that they, you know, again, worship these so-called scientists that have claimed fluoride is good and beneficial, and it fights tooth decay, but it's a very toxic, in fact, neurotoxic component, and indeed it dampens or weakens the will of people that even consuming it at parts per million, you don't have the fight in you. If you can still recognize between right and wrong, you won't be able to stand up for it because your will is dampened. And on top of that, it actually increases the uptake of heavy metals,
mm-hmm.
which we find are very prevalent in the water supplies of many of the big cities in our nation, including the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., which explains a lot of their behavior. you might understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But fluoride has no place. It is a naturally occurring trace element. I know you can find it in some spring waters, but in an additive role, it's mm-hmm. really the waste of one industry sold to another. You know, whether it be aluminum mining, bauxite mining, of course, they have this waste product, fluoride. They had to find a way, and they say, hey, I got an idea. Let's sell it to the stupid public.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done, much like with vaccines and the flu shot.
Yeah.
But in this regard, you know, removing it will be a very responsible thing to do, and it's highly irresponsible for anybody to continue with this fluoride deception. Dr. Paul Connett, if you've ever interviewed him, is an expert in regards to fluoride toxicity, and it's really an abominable thing to put it in the water supply. We go back to World War II, Nazi Germany. They did purposefully spike the water there with a little bit of fluoride as well, again, to dampen the will so that you wouldn't rebel as a basic prisoner in this case.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we're battling here in Austin trying to get the fluoride removed. Paul Connett and the Fluoride Action Network actually mentioned us, one of three cities in the entire world that has a chance to reverse it. We would be the largest city in the country to reverse it, too. But it's a perfect example of coming up against the status quo. You know, we lobby our council members. We even flew Paul Connett in here. He met with the council. He did a couple different discussions. But yet they still insist on saying, well, the CDC says it's okay and the ADA says it's okay. And I'm really getting sick and tired of it, actually. It's really difficult to appeal to their more, you know, to their conscience and to get them to think on their own because they're so happy with just taking the status quo.
The Centers for Disease Creation are notorious for, you know, basically buying the party line of Big Pharma and the conflicts of interest. You see the revolving door between whether it be FDA agents or heads of that organization and CDC, like Julie Gerberding left CDC and became head of Merck Vaccination Division, a $5 billion division. So the conflicts of interest are legendary there as well, and that's also perpetuating the mythology. Again, people are worshiping these institutions with mm-hmm. people that have these degrees as if they know something that the people don't. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they've been indoctrinated our ability to think clearly right out of it through these government indoctrination centers or public schools.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If any of the listeners want to learn more about the battle to remove fluoride here in Austin, check out fluoridefreeaustin.com, fluoridefreeaustin.com. We got a few minutes left with you, Robert. Maybe you can give us some advice. I know, of course, diets, people's diet is a major contributing factor to their health. They say you are what you eat. Is there any advice you can give on how to live a more healthy lifestyle by simply changing one's diet?
Yeah, simply going organic is already a tremendous benefit to reduce the toxin exposure. I mean, we can't account for what's in the air anymore, but the water, cleaning the water and cleaning the food is going to be very, very critical. I think the other thing is that land-based foods do not contain the mineral array that they need to and once did. So we need to look back to the oceans for minerals, and I'm a big fan or advocate of eating a lot of sea vegetation or seaweed. I talk about that on my show as well. Particularly get the selenium levels up, because the selenium deficiency is resulting, of course, a result of the toxin exposure, because it binds to the toxins, but the reduction of the availability in food also makes us vulnerable to cancer and other chronic degradation diseases. So cleaning up our act is very critical, which unfortunately is what the Senate Bill 510 will work against, as they hire 4,000 more agents with money that doesn't exist yet until Bernanke, prints it out to basically swarm the small family farms around the country and put them out of business so big agribusiness has less competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and what we've got to do is there's so many issues. I mean, we've kind of touched on a lot of them. You know, we talk about money in banking. We talk about these government agencies that are supposed to protect us that are actually doing the opposite. You know, we've got, there's so many battles to fight. And yet what we need to do and what you're doing out there is you're choosing a battle and you are just going full force and attacking that, fighting that battle, getting the information out there. And that's what we have to do as people and the listeners to this show and your show. Just say, look, what am I going to get passionate about and where am I going to fight back against, you know, this overreaching government, against the misinformation and disinformation campaigns, and where am I going to make a difference by changing the minds of other people mm-hmm. so that we can reclaim this society and get back to where we can all just sort of make free choices and live as sovereign individuals.
Wow, what an incredible concept. And yeah, absolutely. health freedom, without health freedom, there is no freedom. So it's a fundamental freedom. If we don't take care of the temple, the body we've been given, then, of course, we're apt to be controlled by those who want to control us. So I think it's fundamental that the freedom movement, those that understand sovereignty and liberty, start embracing their health or getting back to that concept, because they can be manipulated and controlled by illness or through illness. Even if they know the truth, they won't be able to act on it. So for me, it's very important. And if you guys do pull the fluoride out of the water there, let me know. I may move my family to Austin. That sounds great.
We'd love to have you.
Well, hey, yeah, and thanks a lot for joining us. Why don't you give one last plug to where people can find your site and when your show's on and how they can support what you're doing.
Yeah, live every Sunday from noon to 2 Central Time there in Austin. If you can't get it locally, get it on the web. You can stream it through a lot of places, including robertscottbell.com. And I look forward to seeing you guys out there, at the very least, at the Nullify Now conference in Austin coming up later in the year.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We'll see you then. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks, Robert. That's a lot of great information. Again, folks, check out robertscottbell.com if you'd like more info. And yeah, we just can't harp on enough, you know, regardless of what's going on externally. If you don't have internal freedom and harmony, then you're not really, it's going to be difficult to be free and enjoy your life. So
definitely.
We've had a wonderful program today. We chatted a lot about net neutrality, about the latest in the battle against the TSA here in Austin. And again, I want to remind you, we have a wonderful event coming up for Texans for Accountable Government, tagtexas.org. We've been leading the fight against the TSA naked body scanners. And coming up on December 27th, 2 days from now, we're going to be having our Christmas celebration. Not happy holidays. It is Christmas. Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to invite you out there. It's going to be at Bagpipes Pub and Brewery. Bagpipes Pub and Brewery. That's at Burnett and 183, the southwest corner of Burnett and 183 at Bagpipes Pub and Brewery from 7 to 11 o'clock. There's going to be food. There's going to be auction items. There's going to be a lot of wonderful patriots down there enjoying and celebrating their freedom. So, again, we had a wonderful show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is LiveFreeAustinRadio.com. You can check out the podcast, and again, you can catch Jason Rink and myself every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9 FM, The Big Talker. Stick around or check out next week. Definitely, we'll be right back with a wonderful guest. Who's coming on next week?
Catherine Bleich,
that's right. Catherine Bleich and I will be chatting about fusion centers and a lot of work that we've done across the country. It should be a very exciting show. So thank you so much for tuning in.
Merry Christmas and live free, Austin.
Yeah.